and we have, you know, three lugim, then in that particular case, we say that it's going to passel the mikveh, right? So Amalei Rava. So Rava said, look, Hasam, in this latter case, says Maya the Tzava mikveh. Everybody calls it dye water. In other words, what is the stress? The stress is on the word water. Okay? And what do we learn about water? That you can't pour in water in order to complete the mikveh. So, that's one thing. But, hocha, in the case of the water into which wine has fallen and changed the appearance of it so it looks like wine, so people, chamra mezugah mikveh, they call it water, you know, water mixed with, they call it wine which has been mixed with water. I mean, remember that wine in those days, nobody drank wine pure, exactly. It was too strong, frankly. I guess you had to have a cast iron stomach or something like that in order to do it. So naturally, what was the law in those days? The law was that you would mix your wine with water, you dilute it, in other words, so that it would be able to drink. This is why, for example, in the Mishnah, Sochem, where they describe the Seder, you know, that the Seder that we have, the ritual and so on, goes back to the last chapter in Sochem, Arvei Sochem, where they describe, and so that for thousands of years now we have a description of the original one, and many of the things that they have over there we observe to this very day, okay, when we celebrate our Seder. So there the expression is Mosgin lo kos rishon, or Mosgin lo kos sheni, and so on. In other words, they have to mix for him the first cup of wine, they have to mix for him the second cup of wine, because actually they had to dilute the wine in order to make it potable. Okay, good word, potable. Okay, so he says here they call it wine, wine which has been mixed with water, but the stress is upon the word wine. So, naturally, since they have two conflicting views, we're going to call in another conflicting view, okay? The Hotoni, but didn't we learn in another statement, the Baraisa, which says that Rabbi Chiyo, Orido es Amikva, that Rabbi Chiyo says that adding this water mixed with wine is going to literally cause the mikveh to descend from its state of being a kosher mikveh into
an impure
mikveh. In other words, it's going to invalidate the mikveh. Didn't we learn that this would, because it doesn't have enough, as we said to begin with, it was short. The mikveh was short, the minimum amount that it should have been. Yeah. Okay? So that adding this, on the contrary, is going to make the mikveh no good, renders it puzzle. So Omar Rava. So Rava says, Loi kasher. Nah, he says, there's no difficulty over here. Why is there no difficulty? He says, because we have two different authorities, Hor Rabbi Yochanan ben Duri and Hor Rabbanan. One represents the point of view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Duri, and the other one represents the point of view of the rabbis. Bitnan, as we learn, Shloishas Logan Mayim, if you have three Logan of water, right, which Choser Kotov, it's lacking just a little bit. Shenopal Asochem Kotov Yayin. And what happened was that a little drop of wine fell into this. In other words, it was missing a kotov, right? And lo and behold, a kotov of wine fell into it. Umarehen Kamare Yayin, right? And their appearance is the appearance of wine now. It doesn't look like water anymore, but it looks like wine. Benoflu Lemikva. And they fell into the mikveh, and in that case, lo psoluhu, they did not make the mikveh invalid. Okay? So, this is the first statement that they quote, right? And then, another corroborative statement. V'chein gimel lugin mayim choser kotov shenofal esochem kotov cholot. Okay. Take the case where there are three lugin of mayim, which is again, it's minus a kotov, right? And into it fell a kotov of the milk this time, umarehen kemare mayim, right? And the result was that they look not like milk, but like water. So he says as follows, what? Benoflu v'nikva, and they fell into the mikveh, he says, lo pesaluhu. They also would not make it possible. They would not invalidate the mikveh. Now, naturally, we see over here already that there is a big problem. What's the problem? If before we said that, you know, the maid seva, the maid sabo, right, the dye water made it possible, right? So how can we say that here, where it looks like water, how can we say that it didn't make it possible? Before we said, when it looked like wine, it was okay, right? So we said that it didn't invalidate the mikveh. Here we say, however, that if milk fell into it, but it looks like water, it didn't make it. So obviously there's a contradiction. And along comes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says, Omer, that hakol holei chachar ha-mare, that everything follows the appearance. In other words, if it looks like water, consider it water. If it looks like wine, consider it wine. If it looks like milk, then in that case, consider it milk, because obviously milk would be, as a substance, permissible, you know, if you simply dropped in three looking at milk, but not water. That's, you know, into which we just had a drop of milk, okay? So he says, you know, he says, this is a kasha that Rav Papa didn't understand, you know, he had difficulty with, and he was asking questions in order to try to resolve the issue. The boy Rav Papa, as Rav Papa, you know, he researched, he asked the following question. He says, Rav Tony, tell me, he says, did Rav learn in the statement that we quoted that it was choser kota bereisha, right? That it was minus a kotov to begin in the first part of the Mishnah, aval shlosha lugin betanakama pasle, but three lugin, according to the first authority, it would make it possible. The Yosef Rab Yochanan, and along came Rab Yochanan the Nuri to say, lemeimor, that hakol holeicha chamara, that everything follows the appearance itself. Okay? And therefore, the Rav Oimeka Rab Yochanan ben Nuri, right? And therefore, we would assume at this moment that Rav is saying he's in agreement with the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, namely that because it looks like wine, therefore it's wine, but if it looks like water, then it doesn't, right? Or even though it's colored, but nevertheless, what do people call it? They call it mei tzaba. They call it water of the dye, right? So that therefore, to everybody, it's water and it's not. So obviously this is an issue that we're going to have to resolve next week in Mitzvah, because the time has come now to recite Kaddish L'Megiddah L'Mitzvah. Okay, so we are now in the first few lines on Dab Dalad, right? Omid Aleph, and we shall continue this problem for next week. Okay. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 lines down from the top. Okay, so we start with Odilma. Or maybe, that's what Odilma means. Maybe, he says, Rav Leitoni Chosu Kota Bereisha. Maybe the quotation that we quoted before, which says that Rav says that, let's say, if you have three lugin of water, but they're not complete, why? What are they minus? They are minus a kortov. In other words, it's not quite three lugin yet, okay? And what did we say at that particular point? We said that if, you know, a person drops in wine, a couple of drops of wine, a kortov shel yayin, right? And lo and behold, the water changes its color so it looks like wine. Then in that case, we would be with the assumption that, you know, Rav agrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, says, what? That the color follows. Okay. But maybe Rav didn't exactly read it koser kotov, that it's minus a kotov. Maybe he read it instead that, you know, shlosha lugin mayim, okay, that you had three lugin of water. And of course, what are we talking about? Water? We're talking about water, you know, which comes from a pail, a bucket, or something like that, okay? Because this is what we call mayim shu'uvim, okay? And into this then fell a drop of wine. So now the emphasis is upon what? Not that to begin with it was minus a kartok. In other words, it still hadn't yet reached the stage of being shlosha lugin. But now we're dealing with the case that, you know, maybe he's talking about a case where taka is three lugin. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, kipalig. So if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is in disagreement, so what is he in disagreement with? He says it's Asefa who the Palik. He's in disagreement with the second part of the statement. Okay, part one of the statement, if you remember, dealt with what happens if you put in wine. Okay? Now, what do we say at that particular point? If it looks like wine, consider it wine. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's statement. Okay. And what did he say as far as the milk is concerned? That it fell in, right? And it doesn't look like milk, but it looks like water. Then in that particular case, what does he say?
It's water. Color of water.
Right, it's water.
Color is water.
And presumably then, I mean, the business with the water with the dyer, you know, would be the same thing. I mean, if it's colored water, but it's colored water, and, you know, you can't consider it. This is a question, okay? So maybe this is what the problem is. Barab the Omar Kidriyakol. So maybe Rab is in agreement with everybody else, right? What? What would be his agreement, you know, that he's in agreement with everybody else? We'd have to say, in other words, that it has to look. It has to look like what? It has to look like water, or it has to look like wine, and that's going to determine the business, okay? So this is the question, he says. sorry, I'm clogged up tonight.
Can I turn this off?
I'll try it and see if it'll help in any way, okay? So, Le Rab Papa Mibayale says maybe Rab Papa had his questions. He didn't know exactly how to resolve the question, but, you know. And Le Rab Pshitale. But Rabba was absolutely sure of what the answer should be. All right, so we have to go back again and see, you know, what were they all talking about, okay? We go back again to towards the end, at the bottom of the previous page, okay? The whole thing started, if you remember, that Omer Rav Yehud, Omer Rav, right? That Rav Yehud said the name of Rav. And what did he say? He said, that Shleishas Lugin Mayim Shenofel Techen Kotel Shel Yain, right? If you have three Lugin of water into which a Kotel Shel Yain is full, Namarein Kamar Yain, right? And they look like wine, Venofel the Mikvah, Leib Solubu, right? If they fall into the Mikvah, they did not make the Mikvah puzzle. And to this, Rav Kama, of course, objected, right? And because he based his objection upon the statement of Rav Yossi in that Mishnah that we took a look at last week, if you remember, in the Art Scroll Siddur, right? The one from McVoy's, in which we said that colored water made Saba person the stomach which is looking, right? And what was Rav's opinion? And so Rav's opinion was over there that because it's called water and it's not called, you know, and it's not called, let's say, dye or something or other. Whereas in the case of the wine, people call it simply mixed wine. And as I explained last week, I mean, mixed wine in those days anyway, in order to be drunk, had to be mixed with water. So it still had the status of being wine, even though it was diluted with water. Okay?
But there was only one kartov of wine.
Right. But what was the problem? The problem is that Rabbi Chiya said that if you know, they fell into the mikveh, he says, Horidu es hamikveh, right? So, in other words, that was the last line in the previous page. He says that they invalidated the mikveh. So we see that they are really, you know, quite mixed up over here as to how to interpret. They're mixed up, first of all, not only about the interpretation, but they're also mixed up about what was the reading. What was Rob's reading? Did he read it chaser kotov? In other words, that it was minus a kotov, in other words, not completely three lugin of water that fell in, right? Or did he read it, you know, that even if it was three lugin of water, but if enough drops of wine had fallen into it in order to change the appearance so that it looked like wine, so now he would be in agreement with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri.
He said,
right. Who said, you know, that the color of the water determines. But maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagrees on another thing. And he says that, you know, that if, even if it were not three lugin, maybe it's no good anyway.
Right.
See, it's the question.
Is the water missing?
Right.
So back to the...
Yeah. So, we're trying to sort of size up, you know, the who's in agreement with who, right? Because we are calling Rabbi Papa in Bayale, so it's Rabbi Papa who had his questions because he wasn't sure how to read it or how to decide it. And the Rabbi Pshitale, but Rabbi was sure, and as we said before, you know, what did Rabbi say? Rabbi said, you know, that is Loikasha. He says, there's no question. He says that it was a machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, right?
Mm.
And Rabbanan. And that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you go according to the color, and the Rabbanan says that as long as it is choser kortov, you know, the first line on the top of the page over here, as long as it's choser kortov, it's missing a kortov, then in that particular case, it's not enough water yet to make the mikveh invalid. Wouldn't make it kosher, that definitely not. But would it invalidate it or not? This is the question. See, because as we learned from that mishnah,
from
the other one, right?
I don't understand this.
Well, remember we learned last time that there are certain things that, when added to a mikveh, which is just minus, you know, the required amount, it would make it kosher.
Right.
Those things concluded, for example, well, let's say rain if it fell, or ice, or you know, snow, or something like that. These would complete a mikveh.
Okay. That, but
then we learned there are other things that they will neither validate nor invalidate the mikveh. But the point is that they're not going to invalidate it. Okay? Now, among that would be wine. Okay? Wine doesn't make it into a kosher mikveh, but it's not going to make it either into an invalidated mikveh, you see. Okay?
Yeah, I don't quite get it.
Okay, shall we take a look again at the art scroll business?
No, I don't understand the difference between kosher and invalid. If a mikveh is invalid, it's invalid. It's not kosher.
Okay.
I don't know, what is this invalidated?
All right, now I understand what the problem is.
Yeah.
What was the third alternative? The third alternative is it makes the mikveh puzzle, that it makes it altogether no good. Now, if it makes the mikveh altogether no good, then what it means is that you have to start all over again in order to start it. You have to get rid of the old water and start it with new water altogether in order to make the mikveh, you know, reach, let's say, the required quantity. So the middle one is where it neither validates nor invalidates.
So in other words, where it doesn't invalidate, it's still not... not unkosher.
But it's right.
It
didn't make
corrected.
It not kosher, okay. But on the other hand, by the same token, there isn't a sufficient amount of pure water in the mikveh itself to qualify for the minimum of 40 sa'ah. That's what we're talking about. Okay? What? No, he says even a kortov, even a small amount, I mean, if it immediately changes the color, you know, so that it looks like wine, that's enough already. Because as I explained last week, they were accustomed anyway to dilute their wine with water. So if it looks like wine, so you call it wine, okay?
Okay.
Looks like a duck, it's a duck.
Okay. So the point of invalidating it means that it did make it unkosher, but it didn't make it valid.
That is correct, that's correct. It's sort of like a parabah, it's a parabah business, okay?
I'm a little dense there.
It's not bilchig and it's not pleshig, okay.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, it's an interesting concept, because, you know, we would think, okay, if you threw it in and so it would make it okay, right? But really what we're arguing about is whether it invalidates it or not, you see. Because you notice the language. The language is lo pisolu, which means it didn't make it invalid. But it doesn't say hichshirah, which would mean it made it kosher. You understand? That it doesn't say. But what it says is simply that it didn't make it invalid. That's all. But it doesn't say either psoluhu, which would mean, you know,
possible.
That they made it possible altogether, no good. Okay? So that this is the problem that we
trying to save the water.
Right.
Okay. It's hot as your water.
Well, I mean, the basic problem is the fact that, of course, I mean, what does the word mikveh mayim? Literally, it means, you know, that it's a gathering of water. But we would think that, for example, a bathtub is also a gathering of water, or a swimming pool is also a gathering of water. So therefore, the Torah came along and it says, Ach mayon ovor mikveh mayim. In other words, it has to be either a spring of water, or it has to be, let's say, like a well, but a well in which the water itself is natural, not that it has been drawn from another source, okay?
You can also use ocean
right,
water.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely, of course. I mean, it can be tabled in the ocean, but we're going to see one demur about that as we go along.
I see, okay.
Yeah, but normally there's no question that it's kosher. Okay? All right, before we continue, any further questions?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Now we understand.
All right, good. So I hope that we've clarified. Yes. Pardon me? Oh, okay. Count down roughly about 15 lines right now. Right. Okay. We're up to Amar Rav Yossi, I would say. Do you see the margin over there? Yeah, there's a little, okay. All right. Omar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, he says, Lo Shemi Ali Hoshmata, says, you know what? I don't remember hearing this interpretation. Which interpretation? The answer is, you know, about, with in agreement with whom, you know, did Rav's statement was. Was it Choser Kartov? Whether it was minus the Kartov, or whether it was Shlosha Lugin Malayim, in other words, three full Lugim of water. Okay? He says, I don't remember. So Omalei Abaye, so Abaye said to him, At Amrat Lo Nihalon, you told it to us in the past. So we have to understand over here, what is the problem? The problem is that Rabbi Yosef, unfortunately, suffered illness as he got older. It's only Streffen, but you know, it happens, you know, that people get older and they can become ill. And in his illness, he forgot, a great deal of the teachings that he had taught. So that this particular point, he doesn't remember now. What did he say? What did he teach in the past? He doesn't remember. So the answer is, and furthermore, who is Rav Yosef? It says he was also the Talmud of Rav Yehuda, so presumably he should remember what Rav Yehuda had to say in the name of Rav, right? Because it was Rav Yehuda who was quoting the statement of Rav. He should have remembered it. But even though he was his disciple and so on, so he says, I didn't hear from him, you know, this. When we say in his name that, you know, Shlosha Lugin Mayim Shenoch B'Seichon, and so on and so forth. So Abaye said to him, you know, that look, unfortunately you were ill, right, and you forgot, and so now I want to remind you, right, what it is that you said to us. And what is that you said to us? Hoche Amrit Neolan, this is what you said to us. The Rav Lo Toni Choser Kotov, that Rav had not learned or taught, if you wish, probably taught is a better translation for Toni over here. Rav had not taught minus a kartov. In other words, according to Rav, even if you have three lugin, right, of water, and it's mayim shuvim, as we said. In other words, you know, water
it's
which
good water.
In
good
the
water.
Bucket. No, it's not good water, but it's pure water,
good
if you
water.
Wish. All right, but it's not mikvah water. Okay, and you take these, and into it, what happens? You add a little wine to it, and it changes the color. All right. So, in that particular case, what do we have to assume? We would have to assume that, according to Rav's interpretation now, that if it looks like wine, then it's to be considered wine, and it's not going to invalidate the mikveh. For Rabbi Yochanan, Asefa Polik. And what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in disagreement with? He was in disagreement with the other statement, the statement about the milk falling into water. Okay? So, for Rav de Omar Kedivrei HaKol, so Rav is saying in accordance with what everybody is saying, namely, that you have to go according to the appearance, right? And the Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, no, whoa, this is already another mice, okay? And he's in agreement with what everybody is saying.
He objected because right. they made it all milchik already.
Yeah, yeah.
He couldn't use it ever.
All right, we'll take a look. You have on the margin over there Rabbeinu Hananel. It's one of the one of the earlier commentators over there. Okay. Okay. All right. So he says in the middle over there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he says. Gimel Rav, right, it says maybe when Rav is teaching, it says Gimel Lugin, Shenofel, and Sechon Kot of Yayin. Okay? Gimel Lugin, into which a drop of wine has fallen, lay Pasluha Mikvah, right? It did not make the Mikvah Pasl. So Tani Law, this is, you know, what he taught. The Rav, the Omar, Divrei Yakol, right? And Rav is really saying the same thing that the majority of the rabbis were saying, right? The Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he is only in disagreement concerning what?
Yeah.
Concerning the milk. And where it says, you know, that gimel lugin, which are minus a kartov, right? This is where he's in disagreement, right? Of all, aresha mod, but he would be in agreement as far as the first statement, okay? So, what would that leave us with? That would leave us with really the idea that you have to, first of all, assess really both quantity and quality. Quantity in what sense? That if you had gimel lugin of mayim she'uvim, then there's no question that what happens, that it makes it possible. Okay? Makes it possible. But if those gimel lugin were not water, but instead it looked like wine, then in that case it would not make it possible. Okay? And so that answers, I mean, as far as both, you know, the quantity would make it possible, but not if it looked like wine instead of water, right? And then on the other hand, let's take quantity and quality again, okay? Quantity would mean if it was still choser kartov, in other words, it did not have exactly three lugin, then in that case it still didn't have enough to invalidate the mikvah, right? Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say, you know, if it doesn't look like wine and it looks like water, then forget about it. It's water and that's all there is to it, that's going to make it invalid. So this is the way it would seem to wind up right now. Yeah, right. In English they use LOG, but it doesn't mean, you know, a log of wood. It's a liquid measure. Okay. That, of course, opinions differ as to how much it would be. Roughly, it's supposed to be the equivalent of 6 eggs in quantity.
Replace the 6 eggs.
Eggs supposed to be is one loaf, okay?
It's not a whole lot.
That's right. So this would be the equivalent of 18 eggs, okay? So figure out. Go to the market, buy 18 eggs, and measure out. Pour them out into a measuring cup and see how much it costs.
You the shell on it.
Right.
According to this, it's between 12 and 21 fluid ounces.
Yeah, 12 and 21.
Yeah, sounds because, reasonable. As I say, it's going to differ, and then, you know, they started to argue about how much is a beitza.
Yeah, right.
How much is an egg?
Yeah, big egg,
that's
small
a big,
egg.
Right.
They
said, right, there are those who maintain, you know, that the eggs that they used to grow were bigger than the eggs that we buy in the market today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to affect the amount that we consider a quantity. As for example, we're all aware that when we make Kiddush on Friday night, right? Or when you make Kiddush, let's say, to the Seder, what is the minimum quantity that you have to have of wine?
Reviyas.
It's called a Reviyas. Okay. So the Revius is based, you know, about a fourth of, you know, how much, a fourth of a log or something like that. Okay. So you measure, I mean, you know, okay. So you would think, you know, that a Becha, let's say, maybe like this would be a Revius. Nah, it should be about this big. Why? Because again, if the eggs of today are smaller than the eggs of those days, then in that case you have to have a larger quantity in order, you know, in order to have a Revius. So opinions are going to differ, you know, about how many. This is why you quoted to me 21 to what?
12 to 21.
12 to 21. All right. Now obviously, that's a big enough variation over there, mm-hmm. as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, how do you measure the egg, you see? Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. You have another problem, I mean, regarding eggs. You're supposed to eat, okay. With an egg, for example, is the minimum amount. We use it for the liquid measure. Now we come to an olive. An olive, a kazayas. Right, okay. How much is a kazayas?
Well,
I go into the store and I eat an olive. To me, an olive looks something like this. Okay?
Yeah, but you see olives, the little tiny ones.
All right, you have little ones. All right, but let's say an olive about this size. Okay.
Huh?
So, if you ate just this much bread, you have to make a mozi, correct?
Right.
Needless to say, and if you ate this much matzah, you're also yotze with the kazayas, correct?
Right.
I don't have to tell you that the kazayas suddenly means that it has to be at least the size of a machine matzah in order to be yotze. Okay?
Correct.
And you know, there are,
How much bread? Half a loaf?
According to some, yeah, it should be like a half a loaf or certainly several slices. I mean, we're not so makpid about that because we are more makpid, however, about the matzah, the size of the matzah.
Because you want to fulfill the mitzvah.
Right, you want to fulfill the mitzvah. And in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you know, there are these, what they call ten plates, you know, where they measure out what is the size of the matzah that you're supposed to eat. And what is the size of the moror? How much does it have to be? And, you know, for the sandwich that you eat, how much matzah and how much moror and things like that.
So they say how strong the moror has to be?
No, that they don't say.
It's just quantity here.
Yeah.
We got to talk about
quality. But it makes a big difference, too. No. If you grind horseradish...
No, it's supposed to bring tears to your eyes,
yeah,
right?
All right. If you grind horseradish, in that particular case, probably a shot glass is enough. If you feel that, believe me, try it. I do it for the sake. But a lot of people, you know, they use instead like romaine lettuce or something like that. Okay, so if you do that, then of course you have to have, you know, enough of quantity. Put the stalk after stalk after stalk like this in order to get finally the minimum shear, which would correspond to a kazayas. So that's why. I mean, when we use these terms, we have to realize that they're not set down in stone by me. I don't have that. But, you know, there are many interpretations as to what actually is the minimum amount that you're supposed to eat in order to fulfill the requirement, the mitzvah, okay?
You have to have a standard.
Yeah, right. So there are standards.
You should set up a bureau of
Jewish
standards.
Yeah, so there are, as I say, there are people, you know, they base it, of course, upon some of the earlier Rabbanim who already tried to figure out this business. Okay? So that it's on that basis that they do it. For example, with the Kazayas matzah, they say, how do you derive, you know, how much of a quantity you need of a Kazayas matzah? You take, let's say, a piece of matzah, and you grind it down and grind it down and grind it down. And, you know, make it like into a powdery substance.
That's a meal.
Yeah. So then you have an idea how much will fit in and see, you know, whether it meets the definition, let's say, of an olive or something like that. Well, all right. Listen, we have to accept these days, you know, the tradition of those who worked on these midos, as we would say, these different measurements, you see, and accept it. I mean, that is... You want to be yotze and do everything strictly according to Ilkhosei, as we say, according to the halacha, according to the rules and all the rules and regulations. So you need these aids that will tell you, you know, what would be considered a minimum amount and that you yotze with. Okay.
Onward. Okay.
Anyway, the solution for a mikveh is very simple. Make sure that in the mikveh there's always more than the minimum, because then
you don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about it. Okay? And this is precisely what they do. When they make a mikveh today, they don't simply have 40 saw in it. They'll make, let's say, 60 saw or something like that, you know, in order to make sure that at no time will there be an evaporation or anything like that. And also for the other rule that I mentioned, namely that once you're beyond, you know, the minimum amount, once, you know, you're above it, then in that particular case, you can add, you can subtract, as long as there always remains at least the minimum in the mikveh. And that makes it kosher. And then, of course, there's the other thing that I also mentioned, namely that they make a bor, literally a well, but it's a pit which has been filled with rainwater, and then there is a connecting pipe, so to speak, between that and the mikveh, and so that the waters are always right. They are mixing at all times, and that already makes kosher what is in the actual pot that, let's say, a person goes and the tevels in. Because after all, you don't want to use the same water from Rosh Hashanah to next Rosh Hashanah, something like that. You want to wash it out in between, keep it clean, and so on. It has to be attractive, okay?
How do they circulate?
Huh?
How do they circulate?
With plumbing.
Huh?
With plumbing.
Okay.
Yeah, in other words, they can, you know, there's a plug at the bottom.
It's like a reservoir.
Right.
They have a reservoir which is connected.
But at the same time, there's always the bore which contains a minimum amount of rainwater and so on in order to make kosher what's over there. Okay?
Bore is the reservoir.
Yeah.
It can only be rainwater or it can be melted stone, melted ice?
Yeah, it could be, as I said before, right. It could be melted stone, melted ice. There's no question about that. That is kosher. It's questioned in the Mishnah, but then they pass it that it's kosher. Pardon me? Not to begin with, no. Definitely not. Right. The water in the bore has to be, you know, from rainwater and so on. This is why it's not enough just to build a mikveh, but you have to make it possible, you know, for rainwater to go and to go into the bore. That's part of it, so that when there's rain, you know, there'll be rainwater descending and helping to fill up the minimum requirement.
Hanukkah refers to the Tanakhama versus your Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, huh?
Yeah, right. I mean, but as I said, you know, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, he is consistent about what? Color. This is what he's consistent. The others is a question about color and quantity. Yes?
I'd like to digress.
Okay, a moment.
I was just in those glass where they have very little rainfall.
Yeah.
Say, assuming that there are Jews, which I'm sure there are, living in New Mexico or Arizona, and there is no rainfall, there is no snow, there is no ice, there isn't even any living water, we don't even have streams. Or, so what do they do?
They have wells.
Or how do they do it in the Negev?
They have wells.
Wells.
Yeah, well would be, I mean, because we said before, you know, a bor mayim, I mean, the water is natural, has not been drawn in, you know, in other words, that they haven't put buckets of water in order to make the bor, okay? So in that particular case, it could also be possibly a kosher mikvah. There are a lot of technicalities. I don't claim to be an expert on the technicalities of building a mikvah, because not every rabbi is an expert on it either. Okay, there are people who make it their specialty, you know, to be experts in the field of that, just as others are experts in the field of, let's say, an Erev. I mean, you have a general idea, you know what's right, what's wrong about
an Erev.
Right. But if you want to build an Erev around the town, you have to have really a specialist come in and examine and, you know, to tell you whether you're doing the right thing or whether you're making a technical error or what it may be. And then, of course, you have the problem of maintaining the Erev. Because if the Erev, let's say, you know, it consists of wires, then in that particular case, sometimes a storm can come along, knock down a pole, or a wire will break, or whatever it may be. You know, and immediately that would invalidate the Erev. So it has to be inspected periodically. Before every Shabbos, you have to inspect an Erev to make sure whether it's operative or not. It's not an easy business. I'm not talking, of course, about a little Erev that you build around your own house, let's say. If you want to take
you know, chairs and tables out or something like that. You know. But I'm talking about, you know, around an area, which is, it's a complicated business. Pardon me? If you're going to go down in order to dip yourself into it.
No, he means is it artesian well water.
Oh, no, but if it's coming up through pipes,
no,
it may
artesian
not
well
be.
Is a dug
yeah, right.
well.
It's a dug well.
It's a natural water.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure about that. I'll be honest with you. Okay? Yeah. I don't know whether they have mikvahs over there. I can tell you one thing, that very often, I mean, an observant Jew will have to travel miles in order to be able to find a mikvah. Because, you know, they're not that plentiful, and it has to be built according to the proper specifications.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, you know, the problems that you raise are very interesting problems. I really don't know. I'm not familiar with what goes on over there out in Arizona or New Mexico.
Well, for that matter, the Negev.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the Negev, okay, Eretz Yisrael is not that big that within an hour or two of driving you can't come to a place.
It's almost socialist
right.
in the Negev.
Yeah. Besides, if you go to the other place, you know, you could always go down to Eilat and take a dip at night when nobody's watching or something like that, go in the mikvah.
All right.
But you couldn't, could you use the Suez Canal?
It's ocean
well,
water. It's
yeah,
ocean water.
It's water.
All right.
Ocean water.
Yeah, I mean, after all, you know, it's not the same. It's not a plumb. It's not plumbing. Okay. All right. So now that we've digressed, now they have another question. Okay. It's still about Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav. Another statement that he made, and this time he makes another interesting statement. He says, "Chavis Malei Yishmayim, you have a barrel which is full of water. Okay. Shenoflo Yamagodol, and all of a sudden this barrel fell into the Mediterranean, that's what the Yam HaGadol is, okay? And lo and behold, what happened? The water is all there. It's standing over there, as we'll see in a second, okay? So, HaToivel Shom, if a person goes and immerses himself over there, precisely where this water fell out of the barrel, then in that case, what do we say? Lo also lo tefila. His immersion is invalid, no good. Has to go to a different place and do it, not where this water fell in. Why? So they explained Chayishin, because we are concerned l'shleisha lugin shelo yuh b'mokim echad. We are concerned that you shouldn't have three lugin of water in one spot gathered together. In other words, just as we said before, you know, that the three lugin of water that falls into, you know, the mikveh is going to render it invalid. So likewise over here we say that if it falls even into the ocean,
no, hold on. So
not in the ocean, but
no,
it
no.
falls into the Mediterranean.
If three looking fall into a regular mikvah with 60 seah, that doesn't make any
sense. No, I'm not talking about 60 seah. I'm talking about where it is minus three looking.
The Mediterranean isn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay, go
telling
ahead.
You, I mean, you're arguing with me. Argue with them.
All
what's
right.
this?
Okay, okay. I'll ask you to explain it. All right, go ahead. I'll wait.
Talking about a very placid place over there in the Mediterranean. Very placid. It's
okay.
So placid that this water that falls in from the barrel, it stays there instead of spreading and moving. Okay. It stays over there.
All
so,
right.
therefore, if a person goes into this particular spot
okay.
where the three lugin of water fell out of the barrel
okay.
into the ocean, into, pardon me, the sea, okay, into the sea, so in that particular case, if a person goes and immerses himself over there, it's not kosher. Why? Because he didn't immerse himself in 40 kosher so of water, but instead it was minus these three lugin, you know, which was over there, and you know, which was Mayim Shuvim. So he's immersing himself in Mayim Shuvim.
Well, they say the barrel is filled with water. They don't say that the barrel has only three lugim in it.
Well, but it's understood. I mean,
maybe
this is the quantity.
Wine in
okay.
The
no, but it would apply even if there was more. No, we're not talking about wine. I'm not talking about wine right now. Right now, we are talking about.
I understand.
Water. Okay?
I'm not trying to give you a hard time. Just
yeah, and why? So, as we said, because he should not immerse himself in water which was shu'uvim. In other words, it came out of the barrel. But if he's going to have a valid immersion, then it has to be in water which is, you know, natural water, vatic. It's there.
They qualify okay. By saying yeah. Water floating in one place where it stays
right, right, but right. The reason I'm saying is because we'll see in a second. I mean, that's the reasoning that they give over there. Okay? And it says now, but Dapkali Yamagola and Taka, we're talking about only the Mediterranean. Why? Dikai Vikayoma, because it stands still and remains still. According to, you know, the author of this particular statement, is the characteristic of the Mediterranean.
Yeah, but he qualifies.
Okay. I've gone into the Mediterranean. The answer is that you find both. Well, not arguing. I haven't gone into the Suez Canal, but I've been into the Mediterranean, okay? Both in Israel and also in France. So I can tell you that there are places, you know, where the beach, you know, that they build beaches, you know, where the water is quiet or something like that. So you don't have, you know, big currents or big waves or something like that. On the other hand, there are other beaches where, boy, oh boy, you got to watch that there's no question that the water is immediately being dispersed. We're talking only about a place where the water is very, very flat and it's not moving. That's what they're worried about. The water is not moving, so not therefore you have bathed in the Mayim Shuv. That's all. And that, of course, you're not yotze with that. You have to pick a different area. Okay? Arbol, they say. But Nara Bialmo, the average river, this wouldn't apply. It's low. Why? Because the average river, there are currents and it's moving all the time. So that, therefore, you know, you would say, you know, that you don't have to worry. You go into a river in order to title if it's all right. Even if the barrel fell in and spilled the water over there, it's not going to stay in one place, but it'll move on. Of course, you could say, I mean, that a similar case might be made for, let's say, going to a lake. It's no question that a lake, if it's large enough and you can immerse yourself completely, not talking in 2 inches of water, you know, I'm talking about, you know, where the water is high enough so that, you know, you can immerse yourself and you're not touching anything. Because when you go into the mikveh, you shouldn't be touching either the walls or the bottom, you know. Every part of your body has to be exposed to the water at the minute.
To float?
But you have to be under.
Well, I mean, your feet have to touch
the
ground.
Right.
Touch the,
you have to get your feet off the ground. Right. So. Pardon me? Is there a timing? No. Even if it's only for a moment, it's okay. Yeah. The idea being, however, as I say, that the water has to get to every part of your anatomy, okay? No, that's not the answer. You can't do it. No good. Because it means that at the time when the rest of the body went under, your head didn't, so that's not valid. No, you have to take them out. Must take them out, absolutely.
No water.
Right.
Right.
People are careful, for example, to remove, for example, bandages, band-aids, and things like that. I mean, to make sure. Rings and so on. You know, all these things. Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
I have that trouble.
Yeah.
You have it.
Okay. Tanya Namehochi. We learned a similar idea. What? Choris Meloyo Yain. This time it is what? It's a barrel which is full of wine. Shenofu le Yamagodol, right? And it fell into the Yamagodol. So Atoivul Shom le also le Tvila. The person who immerses himself in the wine, you know, then in that case, the Tvila is invalid. Why? Because he has to immerse himself in the pure water and not in this wine that fell in over there. It seems to sort of contradict what we said before, you know, that if it looks like wine,
it's
right?
Wine.
But remember, all that we said is that didn't make it invalid. We didn't say that it made it valid. Okay? So you would have to have still at least 40 saw of valid water, you see, in order to... that's in the wine, it's no good. Why? And again, for the same reason, the Chayishin and Shloishin Lugin Shuvin, right? Shloishin and Malkam Echad. We don't want, we're worried that you'll have three Lugin of water, you know, which has been poured in from a container, and they are staying in one place. The Chayin, in another case, Kikar Shel Truma. They have a loaf of Truma. Now, what's a loaf of Truma? Of course, this applies, you know, to the days when people would take tithes, okay? Live in Eretz Israel, they had to take a tithe, and the truma, you know, had to be taken out in the form of grain, and then, you know, this grain would be baked in the form of a loaf. I mean, you could give the... you could give the kohen either, you know, let's say a loaf of bread, or you could give him, let's say, challah, the form of dough, and so on, okay? But no matter what, truma can only be eaten how? By a kohen, he's in the state of tara, and the truma itself has to be in the state of tara. Because if the food is tomei, kohen is not allowed to eat it in them, okay? And, of course, if it's a kohen, who's in a state of tumah, he's not allowed to eat tumah, period. He's not allowed to eat anything which is holy, which is kodesh. Whether it's a sacrifice, whether it's tumah, whether it's challah, whatever it may be, kohen has to be in the state of cleanliness, in the state of tara, in order to be able to eat these things. what happened? So this loaf of bread, which was tumah, it was, you know, the sanctified part, and it had been baked into a loaf and should have been given to a kohen. And lo and behold, for some reason or other, instead of winding up in the kohen's hands, or maybe the kohen was carrying it and he dropped it. And what happened? Shenofal shom tomei, and it fell, you know, into a place which was tomei. Shenofal shom, the better explanation is, you know, it fell into this area where the wine, because as we'll see, this is how Rashi understands it, okay? Where the wine
had been
dropped before, so it makes the kikar shel truma, makes it tummy. It's no longer holy. So now they ask, of course, I mean, why did it make it tummy? This is what Rashi asks. So therefore, we'll take a look. Okay, near the end of the Rashi over there, it says Chavi Shel Yayin. Okay, the Chen Kikar Shel Truma. You see that over there?
Yeah.
The Chen Kikar Shel Truma Shenafal Shom.
Yeah.
Okay, right. It says Achar Shetov Al Zeh. After this guy had gone into the, into that little spot over there, the Olon, he went out, and we said that his immersion was not valid. So this kikar that falls in is tummy. Why? Shema hayayin oimei b'mkomo. Maybe the wine is still standing there, you know,
as a
body. V'nitmor, and the loaf of truma has become tummy machmas ha'odah. Or rather, v'nitmor really refers to the wine. The wine in itself became tummy because the man came and he was table in it, and he became tummy as a result because it was not correct, right?
He was already tummy.
Yes,
right? He was already tummy.
He was already tummy anyway. Tummy. He wanted correct, okay? The chozar, and then guess what? In turn, the tummy is a kikor. So it made the kikor. In other words, it made this loaf of tumor also tummy, okay? Because tumor can be spread from one degree to another degree, okay? There are different degrees, but, you know, with truma being kachim, so there's even a further extent as to what we consider as the possibility of contamination, okay?
Right.
All right.